This book of Ephesians this morning. Ephesians 3. I've been studying for my Father's Day message, so I dug in the crates again and pulled out an old word I had. We're going to see how God runs this one through again. Uh-oh, Jesus is texting. It's all right. Just kidding, brother. But I'm going to read in chapter 3, verse 1. Amen. And the Bible says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to other people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus." There's a lot there. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, I pray that you open our spiritual ears this morning, Lord. You give me the wisdom and the words to say and how to say it, Father God, that we receive it with grateful hearts, Father God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you this morning for those that graduated and moved up. Father God, I pray that they get wiser, make better decisions, that they start to grow, Father God, grow in knowledge, Lord. And I pray that you keep them from the evil one, Father God. Protect them with all your angels, Father God. Don't let harm come upon them, Lord Jesus. I thank you for forgiving our sins, Lord. I thank you for not giving up on us, as we at times given up on you, Father God. Thank you for a second chance, Lord. Thank you for our salvation this morning. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, and thank you for your word, Father God. Feed us this morning. Have your way with us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen, amen. Yes, yes. My gosh. All right. Paul, Paul was the big apostle. You know, a pastor is a man, a human, just like you and me, pastors. But we hear the word of God, and then we dive in and hear God's call to us, and we become faithful, trustworthy, and obedient to the call of God. A pastor does that, you know. A pastor hears the call and gets obedient and dives in. You know, if you have an inkling to teach, you must get obedient. You must be faithful and be trustworthy. You know, you have to submit to what we say and how we say and what to say. By us, the leaders, you know, I'm to be a pastor. You have to humble yourself. You know, you have to be humble to not take the authority and be macho. You know, no, I'm the pastor. You know, and be ordering people around and stuff. You know, I told Brother Anthony, that's your job now. You got the lights after worship, brother, because nobody else jumped up and did it, man. That's your job now, you know. But yeah, I told him what to do, but it's all good. You know what I'm trying to say? I'm not ordering nobody around. No? Amen? You must be faithful, trustworthy, and obedient. If you're going to teach, if you're going to teach in the kingdom of God, you have to be that, those three things have to be in you. You must be obedient, not only to God, but to your pastors. Because being obedient to us is being obedient to God. I'm sorry. You know? Yeah, but I don't serve man. Well, if you can't serve man, you won't be serving God. Because that takes humbleness. Right? And I've shared my story with my pastor, you know. I had to do toilets and all that stuff too, you know. I started from the bottom, you know. But I didn't let nothing deter me. I knew what I was doing and what and the call that was going to be on me. Amen? You know, and I just pursued it. You have to pursue. Amen? You have to pursue that, the call. God starts to reveal to us how the Bible relates to our lives. As a pastor, as a leader, as a studier of the Bible, you have to start to... Oh gosh, I hate to repeat myself. But we need to read our word. If you don't read your word, you're not going to find out how it relates to you. See? You get to learn how it relates to you through reading and through being taught from the church, you know, from the pulpit, you know, because a pastor, God starts to reveal to us how the Bible relates to our lives. And then the mystery of Christ being the way to heaven for everyone and not just for Israel. Verse 3 says, that is the mystery made known to me by revelation as I have already written you. That's what he's saying. You know, I was told the mystery of Christ by revelation, by what God's told me, how it relates to me, our lives. You know, that's how God begins to give you revelation of what it is, what the word is saying. That's what he's saying. In reading this, then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of God. And what is the mystery, Pastor? The mystery is that the Jews are not the only people Christ came to save. But any sinner can be saved by believing in Christ. That's the mystery. You know? That's the mystery of Christ, is that I can be saved by something stirring in my heart from a man behind the pulpit? You mean my life can change by hearing someone behind the pulpit talking the Word of God? Yeah. It did me. My life was chaos. I went to church. I heard the word of God that night. And thank Jesus, it was a night of miracle service. So I was sitting there. And I felt it was me and the preacher just preaching to me. Preaching to me. Preaching to me. And I was like, my God. You know, things were just falling into place in my head. And when he said, if you want Jesus Christ to be your Savior and your life to change, come to the altar now. And I got on my seat. I went, boom. And that was it. And that's foolishness to the world, that we could be saved, that our lives could change. Some of your families think this is chaotic. This is crazy. That you go to church and you let them tell you what to do. No, we're not telling you what to do. We're leading you to Christ so Christ can set you free and change your lives. Right? And we're... Put it this way, you all did it your way before. And how did that work for you? You know, now I'm following Christ. Things are getting much better, somebody. I'm prospering now. Amen? See, we got to get out of ourselves and follow Christ the way Christ wants us to. Amen? See, it wasn't made known to other generations because Christ had to die to release the Spirit. See, Paul is talking about they didn't know. The mystery wasn't known to them because they didn't know that Christ had to die first. You know? They thought Christ was the King. Christ, you know, they thought Christ was going to wipe out the Romans and he was going to reign almighty in Israel. But that wasn't the plan. The mystery was he had to die first. And what? Anybody who believes in that, what? Will be saved. Will be saved. That's a crazy mystery. You mean by believing that, my life will change? Yep. Yep. Because that's when the power of the Holy Spirit comes into you. He says, the power, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's what he says. That's what the Bible says. Acts 2:8 or 1:8. You will receive power from the Holy Spirit. Power, what power? The power to walk the walk, man. The power to shine old habits and old temptations and stuff. That power. The power to speak to someone about Jesus Christ. The power to read the Bible. Come on, somebody. It takes power to read and understand the Word of God. It does. It takes a certain power to say no to your lazy self and say, I'm going to read the Word. Come on, somebody. It takes power. It takes power. You're not going to do it unless you have the Holy Spirit power to open your Bible and sit down and read it. I'm telling you right now, it won't happen. It won't happen if you don't got the Holy Ghost saying, do it. Do it. You know? Because I tell you that because if I don't, you won't. You know, because Christ couldn't get to every single person being in the world. He had to die so his Spirit can be released out into the world. Get that? I've said this before. You know, he had to die because if he didn't die, he'd just be this man in Israel doing these miracles. And us in America would be like, yeah, hey, that's good for them. You know, he's healing people and stuff like that. You know, but that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was to send him down to be a perfect sacrifice, unblemished, pure, and die on the cross. And anyone who believed that will be saved. That's a crazy mystery. That's the mystery of Christ. You know? Amen? Woo, man. Could drop the mic right there. God reveals this to pastors through the Spirit of God so we can come and show you guys the way. Amen? Sounded like my whistle last week. God reveals this to pastors. Oh, I said that. Let's go verse 7 to 9. I didn't read this, but here we go. Verse 7. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of what? His power. Although I am less than the least of the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages was kept hidden in God who created all things. That's crazy. This grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles and to make it plain to everyone. See, I believe that's my gift. That I can preach it plain and simple. You know, God's gifted me, I think, in that. If you can't get it through me, church, you ain't gonna get it, man. Because I'm not eloquent in speech. I'm not no theologian. I'm not no Bible scholar graduate. I just keep bringing it to you the way God tells me to bring it. Amen? And that's plain and simple, right? Amen. Amen. So I like to say God sent me to bring it plain and simple, how God loves us and wants to give us new lives and to have us prosper. He did this by His grace upon me, not because I deserved it, but because He saw my heart. I proved myself worthy of the call. He could rely on me, and so He gifted me. Amen? See, you first hear the call, and then you pursue it, and by pursuing it, you have to become trustworthy and obedient. Amen? You have to. If you heard the call, you can't just live the way you're going to live and have things done your way. No. If I heard the call, I got to do it the way God says it, and or the way my pastor is leading it. You know what I mean? I mean, I ask my pastor certain questions, you know, and he tell me, well, you know, be faithful, you know. And we've told you that, you know, be faithful, you know. But God's, He gave me to bring it plain and simple. And how did I end the last? I proved myself worthy and reliable, you know. Amen. You have to be reliable to man, to pastors, to your leaders, before you think you're going to be reliable to God. Amen. It's like this. Like, you want to love someone. How do we say it? You should find a spouse in love with God. In your look for love or spouse, you look for someone that's in love with God. Because if someone can love an invisible God, you know that he or she can love you that is in front of them. Amen? Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm going to stop with that, you know? I mean, if someone is in love with God, you know they can love you the right way. Amen? Okay. 8 and 9. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach the Gentiles. Although I am the least of all the Lord's people, the big preachers, the mega church pastors, God told me to preach to those who don't know Him, the rich blessings in knowing Christ. Peace in your heart, peace in your mind, and peace in your life. He sent me to bring this message, plain and simple. Through followers of Christ like yourselves, verse 10. His intent was that now, through the church, through you guys, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Let me repeat that again. Someone was trying to preach. His intent was now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. See, through followers of Christ like yourselves gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among angels. That this has been His plan all along. That's crazy. That's crazy to think that up in heaven, you know, they're hearing me preach to you guys about the plan of God and stuff. They're realizing, like, wow, you know, they're amazed too. You know, the angels in heaven are even like, wow. Amen. verse 12. This is big. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Listen up. In him and through faith in him. All that I say, all that I am, all that I do is through faith in him. Right? That's a good saying right there. All that I am, all that I do, all that I say is through faith in God. That's a Christian. Right? Nothing I do outside of that takes faith. But when I'm talking to someone about God, when I'm stepping out in faith, somebody, when I'm walking the walk, turning away from evil things, shining that, it's through faith in God. It's trying to be right through faith in him. Amen. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when I turn away from evil things and stuff like that, what am I doing? I'm pleasing God. And that's what we're here for. Because if we please God, the Bible says he'll reward us. He rewards those who, what? Diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. So it's impossible to please, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because those who diligently seek him, because he rewards those who diligently seek him. Amen. That's a nugget for some of you. That's a nugget. My God. If I seek him, he'll reward me? Yeah. You know, that's how the blessings come, somebody. That's when the $5,700 check will come around. Ah, if you diligently seek him, he rewards you, he says. I didn't say it, the Bible says it, man. You know, some of y'all ought to put that on your refrigerator, man. My God, seek God and he'll reward me. Yes. You know, who diligently seek him. What does diligently mean, Sister Maria?
Without fail.
Without fail? Is it? She just threw that out there. Diligently, I believe, means intentionally pursuing. You know, diligently. Amen? In him and through faith in him, everything is all God, is all through faith in him. In him and through him, is anything is possible. Not by your doing, not by your money, not by your thinking. Remember, there is a way that seems right to a man, but it causes death. You know, that's where some of y'all get messed up. You know, well, if I did this and that, I think the outcome will be this, so I'll do that. You know, no. No. You know, wrong again. Wrong again. And he'll keep letting you do it and try it, and you know, you keep bumping your head. You know, you're going to say, man, you know, that's not working. You know, maybe I ought to try it God's way. Yeah, you think. You know, again, all that I do, all that I say is through faith in him. Let's go to verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its names. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long, how deep is the love of Christ. and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's a mean scripture right there, church. That's a good scripture to pray over yourself. You know? I pray out of the glorious riches that he may strengthen me with power through his Spirit in my inner being, so that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith. And I pray that me being rooted and established in love may have... Come on, somebody. That's a good prayer for yourself. Amen? Paul Paul prays for the people of Ephesus. It is hoped for that we as believers should keep Jesus constantly with us to stir us up to love him and to grow in our knowledge of him. You know, that's Paul's prayer, that you guys keep hearing the word of God, somebody will stir you up to love him, somebody, enough to live for him. Right? That's what Paul's saying there. You know? That being rooted and grounded, that you're so into him that he's everything to you, that you'll grow to love him. Whew, man. It's not gonna get there any other way, church. It will not get there any other way except by diligently seeking him, pursuing God. Man, you know what? You can try it your way, but I'm here telling you, God's way won't fail. God's way will not fail, man. You know? Come on, some of you, we're older, man. You know, this is good. This is good. You know, I done did it my way. And I got empty pockets and a broken heart. And debt. Oh my gosh. Paul prays that out of his riches, God strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. What is your inner being, somebody? My soul. Everything in my inner being is everything I am. My power, my strength, my feelings, my love, my passion, my joy. Oh gosh, my peace. Everything in me, in my inner being, man. That's what he's talking about, right? Because that's not on the outside. My joy, my peace, you might see my joy. See, I'm happy. But, you know what I'm saying? It's all, everything inside of you may have power to grasp how wide, how deep, how long, how high is the love of God for you. When you know how deep, how wide, how long, how high, yeah. So you guys get it. When you know that, man, your heart is so full. You're full of God, man. You know, God satisfies. When you know that, how much he loves you, man, you can live simply. You can live simply. You don't need the bling bling. You don't need the hot car, the big four-wheel drive. You don't need none of that. You know, I drive me a 2004 Hyundai. I'm ready to get rid of it, man. You know. When you know how loved you are by God, those are just superficial things, man. You know, I'm not striving to be, you know, Donald Trump or something, man. I'm not trying to be, you know, Arnold. I'm not, you know, I just want to be simple, man. You know, as long as my wife and my little girl are taken care of, I'm good. I'm good. Amen. Got new boots. I got new boots. God is good. God is good. Come on. Come on, they got their shoes now. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Through faith. So Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith in Him. God wants to be where? In your heart. He wants to be in your heart. He don't want to be, he don't want to be the genie in the lamp. Oh, things are tough. Let me bring him off the shelf. Oh God. I need. No, man. He wants to be, remember my heart cries home. He wants to be your guest. He wants to be a guest in your heart, man. He wants to be there with you when you go out at night. He wants to be with you in the morning, having your coffee. Thank you, Jesus. That's one of my best times with him. You know, just chilling me and him at the table. You know. But he wants to be in your heart. You can't be close to someone if they're not in your heart. That's cherish the love. Oh, pulling the gigs in the house. My gosh. How does he get in your heart, somebody? Through what? Through faith. Through faith. This can only happen through faith, church. This can only happen through faith. By faith, I believe God is in my heart. So He is in my heart. I've told you before. I can go do bad things, but I believe God's in my heart, so I don't. I believe I have confidence that God is in me. And so, I don't. I want to live good. I want to please my Father. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. That closet. When he's walking down the stairs, that man says, when you feel the Holy Spirit retreating from you, boy, that's a heartbreak. That's a heartbreak when you feel, and that's usually comes when you get checked. When you check yourself, when you examine yourself, like, man, I haven't been spending time with God lately. Man, God, I'm sorry. Here I am. Get with me. Get back in me, somebody. And you seek Him. And then He comes in and the room brightens up again. Oh, Jesus, man. So loving. So tender. Oh, man. I had that quote a few months ago, something about tender, but, oh, man. This can only happen through faith. Faith must be strong or love will not be fervent. There you go, Sister Lucy. Faith must be strong or love will not be fervent. So we want to take a stab at what that means? Faith must be strong or love will not be fervent. All right, I'll tell. Faith, I must have a strong faith that God is in my heart or my love for Him will not let me live for Him. It's not fervent. It's cold. It's lukewarm. It's superficial. Come on. My love My faith must be strong or my love for him won't be fervent. Right? Is that true? That's true. That's true. Your faith must be strong if you want to love enough to persevere through trials, somebody. Revelations 2. Woo-wee! Over at Hacienda Heights, they must be that man. This guy's hard. Man, that's what they're getting over there, man. And they still go to that church? They're building soldiers here, man. You know? You know, you ain't hard, Pastor. Come on, somebody, man. All right, chapter 2, verse 2 says, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. My gosh. What's that mean? Yep, that means he'll take your light. And then I'll be able to say, did his light go out? My God. used to be all joyful and now, you know. Man, did he snuff your light out? He took your lampstand, brother. My God. He says you lost your first love. That love you first felt when you came to church. Maybe your second week or third week, you're so in love with church. Oh, God, there's nothing like this. I love it. I love this. Oh, God, you got to come, babe. You got to come. You know, the first love, you lost it. He said, come back to your first love, man. Amen. Remember how high you were? And I'm not talking about Mota. Somebody, my God, come on, some of y'all, yeah, I remember. Man, my God, man. Everybody, man, bunch of, my God, you crazy locals, man. My God, better rewrite that one. Oh, gosh. You can begin to do a lot of things. Consider how far you have fallen, because falling out of love is gradual. You know? Falling out of love is gradual. You don't just fall out of love. You drift away. You drift away. You things start to, you know, not seem so good no more. And you know what, I'm gonna be home late today, you know. Come on, somebody. You know, I'm a little busy. Couldn't give my time with God. You know, you drift away. You drift. You separate. You begin to separate, you know, from yourselves. You know, love, because falling out of love is gradual. Nobody pushes you out of love. Right? Falling out of love comes gradually. If your faith isn't strong, your walk with God will show it. My God. No joy, no peace, not coming to church, Bible study, hitting and missing, not being blessed, not feeling blessed, and ready to give up. If your faith isn't strong, your walk will show it. In faith through me, in faith and through faith, we live believing Jesus is in our hearts. And that's salvation. Pray that you will always trust Christ in order that you will always love Him. That's a good one. Pray that you will always trust Christ in order that you will always love Him. Well, you guys are getting some good nuggets here. If you don't have faith or love for someone, you'll be fine doing your own thing. Ooh-wee. If you don't have faith or love for someone, you'll be fine doing your own thing. Sad but true. I'm going to tell you guys the truth here. Amen? Because the truth will set you free. If love is cold, be sure that your faith is faltering. Yep. Church, that verse I read in Ephesians is so big. I encourage you guys to pray it over yourself. You know, it doesn't have to be every day, every night, but it'll be pretty good. You know, I mean, I when I first heard that in that way, I did it for myself. You know, there's another one in Colossians. You pray for yourself too. You just throw yourself in there. You know, it's a good way to pray for yourself. You know, just add me, add I. But that, verse, it starts 14 to 19. It says 20, let's read the 20th verse, 20, 21. Now to him who is able to immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Yeah, I would do 14 and 19. That's good. You know, but church, it is, if you take anything, it's in him and through faith in him that we do anything for him. Amen. That's good. Can everyone say that's good? That's good. That's good. It is. It is. Wasn't it? Was it? Was it good for you as it was for me? I mean, that, you know, church, I mean, I like I say, I mean, I give these messages because this is the way God gave it to me. To me. First. You know, as I'm reading that scripture, he's dealing with me. And I'm writing what's happening, and then I come and suck it to you. No. No, but Sister Maria, want to come up? Praise God. Amen. Yeah, yes, yes. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Go. Oh, here. Where is it? Yes. Okay, we're good.